Today, the Federal Communications Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, will receive a departmental review into the circumstances around the appearance of convicted criminal Zaki Mallah on the Q&A program last week. Q&A went to air again last night, as it does every Monday night, with a last-minute stand-in after two Conservative panel members made 11th-hour withdrawals. Parliamentary Secretary to the PM, Alan Tudge, pulled the pin via a newspaper opinion piece. He was then followed by Nick Cater, who's the Executive Director of the Menzies Research Centre. Nick Cater joins us in just a moment, but first, let's hear how the host of Q&A, Tony Jones, opened the program last night.
First of all, the decisions made about Q&A are made by the whole program and management team, and we all take responsibility for them. In considering the decision to allow Zaki Mallah to ask a question, the ABC's editorial standards tell us to present a diversity of perspectives so that over time no significant strand of thought or belief within the community is knowingly excluded nor disproportionately represented. Now, secondly, the safety and security of our panellists and the audience is always a key priority for us. And finally, the Q&A team were not aware at the time Zaki Mallah appeared of the very offensive, misogynistic tweet that he put out about two female journalists. Had we known, we would have rejected his participation.
That's Tony Jones opening Q&A last night. Well, Nick Cater, as I mentioned, is Executive Director of the Menzies Research Centre. He was one of the guests who withdrew from the panel yesterday. He joins us now. Nick, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Yeah, morning, Fran. No, it wasn't late yesterday. It was first.
Yesterday. You heard Tony Jones there. Does his explanation satisfy you or allay some of your concerns?
It actually worsens my concerns, Fran.
Right.
And this is why. I mean, Tony Jones said that had they known that Zaki Mallah had made offensive tweets, you know, these really misogynist, violent tweets against two female journalists, they would not have had him on the panel. But what they did know, of course, was that he was a terrorist sympathiser, that he sympathised with Al-Qaeda, that he had a conviction for, the wanting to attack and murder two Australian federal officers, and that he had a long history of offensive tweets and support for terrorist causes. They knew all that, and they were prepared to invite him on. But the one thing that they didn't know, they said, was that he'd made these offensive tweets against journalists, and that was worse, apparently, in their mind than making these other tweets. So, look, I thought it was a mealy-mouthed apology. I mean, having come out last week and said that they made an error of judgment, you know, why try and justify it as they did? This I think goes to the heart of why I found it difficult to appear on the program, and having watched it last night, why I think I made the right decision.
Well, I want to come to that in a second, but you say mealy-mouth apologies. I mean, the ABC has acknowledged, it acknowledged again last night and acknowledged the day after the program last week, that it made an error of judgment in allowing Zaki Mallah to join the audience and ask a question. Why isn't that enough? What's mealy-mouthed about that? What do you want Q&A to say?
Because, Fran, if you make an apology, you make an apology. You don't then spend the rest of the week trying to make an argument about free speech.
Well, you explain what went into your decision in the first place, right?
Yeah, look, I don't think that was the case. I think I read Mark Scott's speech and, again, Barry Cassidy's interview with Malcolm Turnbull on Sunday. The way that read to me was that they were saying, well, it was okay, we were justifying this on free speech grounds, which I think is an entirely spurious argument anyway, and we can go into that if you want. But the point here is that if you make an editorial judgment of that magnitude, it was a very serious one. It goes to the safety of the audience. It goes to the fact that you give an open mic to somebody who is, you know, could have said anything, could have made any view to air instead of, you know, possibly pre-recording if you wanted to go that way. It was a mistake on many, many levels.
If they had done the pre-recorded route as they did with David Hicks, would that have been all right?
Fran, just let me say that the reason that I was asked on Friday to go on the show was because other panellists had pulled out, including Jennifer Oriel, who is who had wrote a piece in The Australian last week to say that she wouldn't go on because she was frightened for her safety. And I think that's entirely justifiable. I mean, if you go back a few years, there was an incident where a shoe was thrown at a former prime minister. I mean, to me, that was outrageous behaviour that should be allowed, that it should be encouraged in a tweet under the screen. I think Jennifer was quite right to fear for her safety. And when it comes, that was in an environment, you know, pre-Lint Cafe, when things were not nearly as touchy as
sure,
they are now.
But we have to be careful what we say here. I mean, say that that was allowed. No one allowed a man to come in and throw a shoe. A man came in and he threw a shoe, and Q&A apologised, and John Howard said that's all right, and he understood these things happen. I mean, nothing is perfect,
right? And then, Fran, they auctioned the shoe as if it was some sort of trophy. Now, I think the way this was read by a large number of people, and I don't want you to characterise, you characterised me at the start as a conservative. You know, this is the convenient way, I think, to try and...
No, well, let me just talk to you about that, because I wanted to bring this up later in the program. The reason I did that is because reading your statement about why you said you wouldn't come in, you said, my personal view, this is quoting you, my personal view is we have to take the fight up to the ABC and our critics. So who's we, if it's not... I presumed you meant we, the Conservatives. Who is we, and what is this fight you're taking up to the ABC and its critics?
I think there's a large number of people who feel disenfranchised by the ABC and by a program like Q&A.
Who?
Well, I mean, if you get a situation, Fran, where, you know, I would say a moderate coalition MP like Alan Tudge won't go on the show, then I think you have a problem. This isn't the problem for the Liberals or the people like myself who find the imbalance quite intolerable. This is a problem for the ABC. You have this show first thing in the week. It's the big flagship current affairs discussion program, and you know, large numbers of people with quite varying views will not go on it anymore because they don't feel they can get a say,
or won't go on it when they are invited, like you.
Yes, because and why not, Fran? I'll go on any show. I mean, I'll come on your show. I'll go on The Drum. I'll go on Andrew Bolt's show. I'll go on Seven Sunrise. I'll go on Sky News. On those shows, I can quite happily have a discussion as I am with you now, and you give me space to speak my view. But the construction of that program and the way Tony Jones runs it, I'm afraid, is just not conducive to free speech or good discussion. And we saw it again last night. I don't know whether you noticed this, Fran, but... You know, two panellists were Tanya Plibersek and the other lady on the panel.
Dr. Anne Alley.
Anne Alley were able to give their first four answers completely interrupted. But as soon as Paul Kelly gets on, he's interrupted twice. Poor old Tim Wilson gets about 12 seconds into his But this is important. This goes to what we see as the imbalance of the program, the imbalance in the guests, the way the questions are selected, the imbalance in the audience, and the way Tony Jones runs his interviews, which I think shows he shows his own bias far too often.
So your decision, I want to play a little bit of last night, but your decision to not go on last night is not just the Zaki Mallah thing, it's because you think there's an imbalance generally. So you don't want to go on Q&A.
This, if you like, was a touchstone, I think, for the frustration which has been building up, if you like, on the right of politics, then for many years, going back almost the start of the program.
Well, it's hard to get it right, though, because we get criticised for not having conservative voices on across the ABC, and then when
which you don't, Fran.
Well, we do.
That.
You're talking to me. I mean, we have them on.
But wait a minute. Where are the conservative presenters? We've had this argument before, haven't we? Where are the right-wing Philip Adams? You know, they're not there, are they? Can you name one?
Amanda Vanstone?
Well, one who's on Radio National on a Monday afternoon?
A fine network?
I mean, where are the mainstream... Who, sorry?
I said a fine network. We're going to run out of time,
that,
Nick.
No.
Nick, we're going to run out of time. I'm sorry, because the news is nearly upon us. So I just want to play a little bit of a mashup from just two elements of last night, two of the people you mentioned, Anne Alley and Tim Wilson.
I think it was a missed opportunity because I think the Australian public deserves to hear a rational debate about issues of national security and issues of national significance that affect them. And I think that debate should happen without any political grandstanding.
Well, I'll be brutally honest. I actually think the producers and yourself, Tony, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for giving them a platform. When I first came on this program in 2008, it was an environment where we had serious policy discussion. Too often these days, it's caught up with gotcha moments and snide remarks designed to get attention, extra attention in the news cycle. And that is what that was, and it blew back on this show and to its detriment.
So that's Tim Wilson and Al Alley. So when you said, and I have to ask you to be brief here, we're almost out of time, but when you said you couldn't risk the reputation of the Menzies Research Centre getting involved with that kind of discussion, what's wrong with that kind of discussion? Isn't that the point you want to be heard?
Look, Menzies Research Centre is a policy think tank. I would have happily gone on there and talked about what I think are the structural problems with the ABC and how they should be fixed. That, I think, is the issue, Fran. I think the ABC has just got out of control. It needs a revision of the Act, which hasn't been looked at in a serious way since 1983. I'd be happy to go on and discuss those policy questions, which is what I'm employed to do, but I don't want to get caught up in Q&A's gotcha moments.
Nick Cater, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.